Yeah. I love you. know that by looking here, but the sin is not just a state of the fact. Because our light doesn't just come out of nowhere. And the chassidim is vayomer Elokim. So when a Jew feels that he's overwhelmed by darkness and he cries out, he says vayomer Elokim, yihibar v'vayishman begging you for light. Vayomer Elokim yihibar. Hashem's God, please. There's so much darkness. I'm begging you for light. It's a bakash, it's a tchim. Vayomer Elokim yihibar. When a Jew cries out for light, then Hashem responds, Vahiyah. So there will be light. And Hashem's book is now bringing into our lives the virus of Hanukkah. There's an aura, there's a chayim, there's a light, there's a warmth that Hanukkah brings with us. It's going to lift all of this up. It's already going to start now, and it's going to lift us up through the entire month. We need it so much. So let me talk to you for a few minutes about the Inyan of Hayit, what Chanukah is. I won't even come back to that the last minute, the word Hayit, but the Inyan of Hayit. The Emes says that there's not Vayda in Yiddishkeit, there's not Vayda al Derech HaOr, by way of light, and it's not light that's called the light of Choshech, of darkness. Two different ways of Avos Hashem. There's a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where a person is very, very medactic in mitzvahs. He keeps everything the way it's supposed to be kept, which is a devoutly given thing, a tremendous thing. Doesn't have, in his authority, he doesn't feel any time. He doesn't feel any deep pleasure. He does what he's supposed to do, but he doesn't feel time. It's called Nadvayd of Choshech. There's Nadvayd of Or. There's a Jew whose Shabbos is not just the rices. Rabbanans, Lamentes Malachas, and Shusim, Mukser Machas this, Mukser Machas that. All of that, of course, is the key. But when you ask him what Shabbos means to him, there's an Ur. It's called the Ur of Shabbos. The davening is an Ur of tefillah. There's an Ur of learning. There's no translation, there's no way to explain that lichtigkeit. The Jew feels the time, he feels that intense simcha, that joy. The Jew who Shabbos, a person who is filled with Achim, was this my Shabbos, more and over the Shabbos. Achim, was this my Shabbos, he can't part with Shabbos. He holds on to every second of Shabbos and he takes it into the night. And he's been mad, I love all the Shabbos, and he rushes, he can't wait until Shabbos comes. The Svarim is a marshal of a very, very, very rich person, a big peer. And he builds the most magnificent palace. The only thing that he didn't make is it could be, went down to the last penny, and he had so much money, but he used it all up on his palace. And the only thing that he didn't have was light. He didn't have candles or lights, he didn't have. So everything was there in the palace. Everything that he ever wanted in his life was there. But it wasn't lichtig, you understand? It wasn't for the time. The person naturally, when you feel a time and you want to do something, you have a cheshit. The Baal Shem HaKadosh Chassid Eleinu, he loved light. Roshan, he knew that whenever he would come into a room, he would always ask for more candles. And he loses his life. He learned to bear mankind, he learns more of Hashem, he learns Tanya, he learns Swasens, he learns the Qumran. He learns all the best stuff there is in the world. And he reads in his learning about Shivas and about Ahavas Hashem and Vegas Hashem. It's all dark. He doesn't feel it, he just hears it, he reads about it, he understands, he talks about it. I'm sure many of you know that there was a very, very important Hebrew writer from the 10th generation that came from Europe that was very elevated, had very elevated souls, but the Kalim were very, very ruined by what they had lived through. His name was Brennan. You heard of him? Mr. Chaim Ben. Somebody died. And he had a very, very deep love for Rav Kook. But he never went to sit down by the Tish. Have you ever been to Rav Kook's house? Have you raised any of you to Rav Kook's house? It's very easy to go, isn't it? It's very beautiful to go there. You can go there and take your hands off a bit. It's not a long tour, you understand? It's a lot there. He had a rumor of Cook sat to his left, the way that he was listed there. The rumor was kept. So he used to have the Tish there. He'd be a Tish like a rabbi. So the Suez was like a rabbi. People from all different Yashamas, all different people, Chassidim, and writers, and poets, and Kaif, and Abikars, and everybody was coming to of course, associates. And Rabbi used to come. He had a very, very deep, deep love for Rav Kook. He's the idea of Rav Kook. He was a young person, he was a very wild person, a genius. And one time he was in the kitchen, and the Rebbeson was getting some things, some kitchen designers for the guys. And Rav Kook was sharing Tish with everybody in the big room over there. If you've been there, there's a big room where you have a Tish. And Rav Kook ran over to the Rebbeson. He began to scream. And he said, all the Rav talks about, all he talks about is Or, is Or, is Or, light, over by near, how I sleep, how cold, everything is dark. All the Rav talks about is Or, is Or, Oris, 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 give all the names, Oris, 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 everything is lichik. And Rabbi said by me, Rabbi said, my dear, everything is dark. I hear what the Rabbi is saying. I understand what the Rabbi is talking about. But it's dark. When we want to understand the difference between Chachma and Dikdusha, Chachma and Dikdusha, from now until Asar B'Tayyaris, you're going to be hearing many, many shmuzim. You're going to be learning many things about Chachma Siyav HaNayim, the wisdom of Greece, Chachma Chitzayinus. There are many, many classes here in this institution where I'm teaching Chachma Siyav. They don't call it Chachma Siyav. But it's Chachma Siyav. It's a very broad term, Chachma Siyav. But you need to understand, and this is by the way of my introducing my beloved Talmud, Reb Shmuel, you need to understand that Chachma Chitzayinus is not a matter of curriculum. The usual taish, the way that they say it, Chachma Chitzayinus, is secular wisdom, right? Secular wisdom. The Chayshach of Yavan, as far as secularism is concerned, is Manenu, Betzleinu. To a large extent, the Machlek is not so much anymore. Even in the strongest circles of Jews who are studying Torah day and night, it's understood that a person study something, myth, science, or history, it's not as hot a topic as it used to be. Because the truth is that it's not a matter of the subject that you're learning. You know Chachma Dikdusha is assessment between Pasuk and Mishnah. Ka Hashem Yitein Chachma. Ka Hashem Yitein Chachma Mipiv Da'as Usvut. What's he given? Ka Hashem Yitein Chachma. Hashem gives wisdom. Mipiv Da'as Usvut. His mouth speaks Da'as Usvut. Let's take something more familiar with it. Ata Chaynim Lohan Da'as. Malam Elah Nishmi. Chaneinu meyidcha chachma bina v'daz. Chaneinu meyidcha chachma bina v'daz. Because you could be a person that sits all day long with the Gemara, the Misanadrish. Or if you're from the Miskatma with the computer, the Misanadrish. You will sit all day long. And you have in front of you the Masifta, the Gemara. And you have in front of you Kiva Eger. And Shalos and Shulis listen. And all the best stuff in the world, like I said before. But the only thing that's missing is the Bar Ilum is the one who gave the Torah. Kashem Yitain Chachma Mipiv Da'as Usvuna. Kashem Yitain Chachma. Chachma the Dusha means when a Jew feels every single second. A feeling of little. Klapei, the one who gave me the Torah. And when you learn Torah in that way, in the way of Chaneinu Me'icha Chachma Bina V'Da'as, Chaneinu Me'icha Rosh Shlom, help me to understand this Taisus. If I understand this Gemara, Rosh Shlom, you are Baruch HaMalam Me'Tar La'am Yisrael. You're the one who teaches Torah to the Jewish people. Without you, I don't understand anything. That's called Chachma Kedusha. What's Chachma Chitzayim? What's Chachma Siyarim? Chachmas Yom is Chayshach. Chachmas Yom means that you can be a person and you can be learning in yeshiva for 5, 6, 7 years and you're the same Jew you always were. The same Klein Kapitel, the same Merchant of Katniss, the same Baltaiva, the same Balgaiva. It can be even worse. Because when a person learns Torah without Hashem and he doesn't ask Hashem to give Torah from his mouth, so then the Torah that you're learning can make you to a person with more gracious, more guidance. You see this unfortunately by many people that they loved on him, that they're the biggest belly guy. I had a Rebbe, by the way, tonight's the 23rd year side of the Rebbe's in Sipar Lushes, Zechon Lavrocha, my Rebbe's at Love Lushes, his Rebbe's in the 23rd year side. And I remember once, in the Shom Shav Eliyah, I remember once, I was at the table, I was in the chavrusa, and there was an elder was standing near us, we were talking at the sugya, and there was a bracha on the other side of the table. And the bracha over there, I remember so clearly, the bracha said, the Rashi goes like this, but I say like this. I remember a David said to me, I was thinking, so a David said to me, Mahu Amar? I said, what? He said, I understand the English. He said to me, Hebrew, I understand the English. And he said this boy, you, Rashi says like this, and you say like that. And the daughter said, Rashi, he kept on saying, Rashi says like that, and you say like that. Obviously, the daughter felt coming from this person such a guy. And when you learn Torah like that, it's whatever, even if you learn Torah, I'm not talking about Milton or Shakespeare, understand? I'm not talking about the official curriculum of Yavam. I'm not talking about the classes you have to take in the afternoon, Chachmas Yavam. I'm talking about what you're doing in the morning, Chachmas. I'm talking about your davening, about your word. When your Torah is on the way, I have a Hashem Yitan Chachmas Mipiv, that Mipiv Da'as Usmu. Ata Chaynen Lodin Da'as. Help me that this Torah that I'm learning should change my life. I shouldn't be a bacher, like I once told you that I heard from the Sfari, the bachers of Ashtayus, by Yom Chacham or Malay Rasha. It's terrible, isn't it? Only a Sfari can say such a thing. Straight. By Yom Chacham, all day long he's learning. Malay Rasha. How could that happen? I'll tell you, it's a shame he's small. The Shem Yishmol says the fact. Shem Yishmol says that the emesis that Hashem Yishmol has wired each and every one of us. The tefa is Ravimura, means that each and every one of us is wired with certain types. There's a tefa that's very much pushed into the growth. There's a tefa enoshi that pulls us and draws us into many, many things in this world. So Shem Yishmol said, how do you fight against the teva of the guf? Is it teva? It's something which is natural. Any one of you that would tell a therapist, I'm trying to be strong, I'm trying to be holy and pure, I'm waiting, I'm trying to get married, I'm going to be pure, that the therapist would say to you, you're crazy, that's not natural, unless it's halacha. The therapist would say, that's not normal, it's not natural. And that therapist would be right. It's not normal that a Jew should be able to be shown out of this. It's not normal. That a Jew shouldn't have to feel compelled to look at the things that he shouldn't look at, that defile our eyes. A name should sell. That a person shouldn't have to do that. The whole world is doing it. It's the most natural thing. It's true, it's nature. So the Shem Yishmol said that the Seichel HaEnoshi, the human mind, human intellect, the same way that if you're standing in front of a wall and you must get past that wall, you can think as hard as you might, but it's not going to break down the wall. Because there's something that's mutba v'teva ha'olam, and the Seichel HaEnoshi, the human intellect, is also part of this world. So the Shem Yishmol said, you can't break Teva, with the Seichel Enoshi. The only way that you can break through Teva is with what? Seichel Eloki. It's with Seichel Eloki. See, Yovan the Greeks, the Inna Chanukah, and this is what Haid is about, Yovan didn't have an Indian to stop us from running time. Yovan could be even like Yovan was one of the sponsors of the Yom Inyun on a Sunday morning with breakfast. In the neighborhood. It could be the Yom also signed as one of the sponsors. And it could be in that shiurim by the Yom Iyun with the Yom sponsoring. It could be that you had very chosh lectures and shiurim. Yom was fine with that. Yom sponsors that all the time. Just take a look to see the community calendar for the shiurim that Shul is signed. Around the Jewish community, the Shiur on Shavuos night, the subjects that are being taught on Shavuos night. Instead of taking on Shavuos, the subjects that are being taught. The fancy Shiur that they're pulling off the computers all the bumping. And all the fancy lectures that they're giving. It's all Chacham Chizai, so these things, all Chacham Chizai. Because if a Jew walks out of the same person that he walked in, and if it's a lecture that's coming from Seichel HaEnoshi, and not with a person that davens and says, let me feel the bar of time. You know, when you learn anything from the Chabad Chaim, I always say this. Chabad Chaim's Svarim are very, I'm talking about not Mishpat, but Svarim and Musa. They're very, very, very Pashat. They're very Pashat. Chabad Chaim's Svarim are very Pashat. But I don't know what it would be, but I know that if I learn something from Chabad Chaim, I have such insights. It's not from the Sikh. Somehow the Chavos Chaim got the Chavos Chaim into the Torah. I don't know. There's something about his Torah is that he just says over a chazal, and he is like a word into it. And I'm already starting to cry. There's something else. It's Chacham Kedusha. It's Halam Eter La'am Yisrael. The Choshech of Yovan allows a person to learn for hours and hours. But it doesn't change you, it doesn't penetrate you. And you know what? It doesn't give you any edge of the camera. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but there's some of you here that you know yourselves. And all of us, myself included, we know. So every one of us knows. You can be learning, you can be learning, you can learn. Now when it comes to a design, it's going to yourself. So what was it? It doesn't work. And not only that, but it's like such an easy design that when you were talking at some NCSY event, you were advising some kid about how he has to move his gaver in this, and you have a recollection of how you were giving his shoes at the NCSY Shabbaton, and now you're Isaac in the same thing that you were telling him he has to be his gaver on, and it's pushing to you. It's clear and it's obvious to you that this is wrong. And what about all the hours and hours and hours of learning? Because when the learning is without the Rosh Hashanah's candles, when the learning is not with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it's missing the ingredient that's called hide. That's actually something else. See, Chanukah doesn't come to drive away dead stuff. Chanukah is the sweetest, sweetest month of the year. There's nothing close to Chanukah. Chanukah doesn't fight. The Hashemayim had a Mohammed. Chanukah doesn't fight. That's the meaning of Nasach. Nasach is what I'm saying, but something else. The tikkun of Chanukah are in Hayyid. And Hayyid means when something is so lichy, something is so beautiful, something is so real. You feel the Baruch Shalom, you feel that blur in the Shabbos, you feel that blur in the learning, that you don't have to fight. It becomes like a joke. That when you hear that sound of yavan, that sound of impurity, you chlal, the whole sun lived, it's a whole shayach, shriyat. Because the aura of Chanukah is so strong that little bit is doicha all the chayshach of yavan, all the chayshach of your life and of my life. Yontif time, I spoke about, I think it was maybe Rosh Hashanah day, I spoke about the Ligim from Mount Erebi. Tiny hoodie on the Vigamon Tanya, I want to know what I want to know about. So maybe after we can see. But you know, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lavu Melech, Ein Lavu Melech, Ein Lavu Melech. So there was a big Chabad Chos in Harry Shmotkin, his name was. He said once on that song, he says, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lavu Melech, then you stop. So if you just stop there, you're like, you're in a bad place. Just stop it afterwards. Oh, you can't aim on the mouth, you walk out of the room. It's very good. But you don't stop. You say, you can't aim on the mouth. Aim on the mouth. Hell out. So the parish will tell this. But he don't care. He says, you know, you're the father and you're the king. Aim on the mouth. That's kind of enough. I don't want to look at you right now as a king. Aim on the mouth. To live my whole life being afraid of you, just serving you in darkness, like a slave, like a servant, a subject, for a king. Ain't long enough. I don't want enough right now. Of course we have to. You know what I want right now? He said, Ella, what do I want right now? There's one thing I want right now. Atta, Atta, you, boom. Ain't long enough. Ella, Atta, Atta, Atta. You know, the height of Chanukah is the Jewish people walking in darkness. So I told the story, some of you were at the Hilul, please estimate that we had beginning of the month. I told the story is it something that most people haven't heard of? Is Rav Shila from Dinev. Rav Yeshua Dinev was not a rabbi. He was actually, when Esosa had been by him, he was actually a chassid of the Rebbe of Zusha. He was by some other tzaddikim, but he was mostly, you never hear who the Talmid of the Rebbe of Zusha, but never again. It was all Bami Yisrael. Every flower, every ant was from Zusha's Talmud. This year was a huge Talmud Chacham, Rav Shila, Rav Yeshua from Dinev. He was a meister, he was a Balbiba Moifis. The Bnei Sosa said about him that he had open mice by him, that Gilead Loyalty said that he loved to come to this rock, this huge Talmud Chacham, Rav Shila from Dinev. So I saw a mice in the Sefer, and I was in Sisrael last winter. I saw mice in the Sefer when I was davening in the Hula in this little stable, and there was a Sefer on the table. I opened it up and had a story there, but this story actually opened it up. And this actually did it, but there was a Yid that he always wanted to be by Yeshua, to be by him for Shoyim Kippur. And he slept very, very, very far. He was very poor, and he saved every penny. He was a very poor man. He saved every penny to bring kapparas for Yeshua Dinev. That was his aim. He would buy fuel, buy chickens, and he would bring them to Yeshua. Yeshua would inspect the chickens. And he would take one for kapparas. That was the whole year he was saving for these chickens, this chicken. Anyway, it happened that time. It was already freezing cold. And it took him a long time. He was carrying his sack with the chickens on his back. And he was schlepping. And finally, he gets to dinner. And he goes into Rav Shila. And Rav Shila gives him the biggest kibbutz spot in Ma'am Moshe, who was so far as the cover with ice, snow, and wood. And he takes the sack and he says, Rebbe, I have the kapparos. He takes the sack off and he looks into the sack and he sees the chickens. Alles gestorben. You know what that means? Dead. They had a rough trip. All the chickens died. Like 3-4 chickens, they all died. And that was his whole year, the excitement of saving up and bringing chickens to kapparos from Shiva. And she looked into the eyes of the Jew and he saw his broken voice. And then she looked into the bed and he said, Moshe, the chickens are, they're not dead, they're just cold, they're very cold. And he took the chickens, they were like icicles. I don't know what you call chicken icicles, they were chickensicles or something. and he took the chickens and he said, they just need a little bit of, to be about oven, they need a little bit about oven. And he took these chickens and he put them on the oven. And in a minute or two, they're all squawking, walking out the room, running around the room. So you can ask a shrine, are you allowed to use such a chicken to kapparas? I know you're thinking some of you right now. Are you allowed to be mad when I miss, right? That's what chanukah is. Chanukah is the worst I'm saying about us. You're not dead. Just got a little cold. It's been a long winter. You may hurt if it's been a long winter. It's been a cold winter. You're not dead. Just need to be next to the fire. So let me introduce to you. Some of you might know Rav Shmuel. You know, are there any fathers over here? So maybe I don't know if they're married people, fathers. You know, when you're a parent, and you're zoichet to have a bunch of children, officially, on Pidin, a parent is never, ever, ever allowed to have a favorite. We know from yesterday's study that there are a lot of sorrows that come from such a thing, right? Yeah. The Akavim, the Ben Zakunim, you're not allowed to have a favorite. You have to be very, very careful. But the truth is that every parent really does have a favorite. And even though you believe it when you're kids, when your parents say, of course, we're doing all the same, but when you'll be parents and see that it's not so much. You love them all, but it's not the same. So I'm the luckiest person in the world, that Baruch Hashem, I have many, many, many talmidim. But my love for Shmuel is not the same. So if I can give you a little bit of a happy present, I'm not here the way I used to be here. At least I can leave you with something for Hanukkah. And I say, I leave you. And it's just because the Adidas, the cures that we have with each other, to be able to introduce to you some of you have heard from the Shmuel Circle, heard Shiburim, tapes, phone, in person, many of you have heard. But there's Hashem, the Shmuel's going to begin saying Shiburim now in the Shiburim. So, we wanted to use this as an opportunity to begin to warm up to the Torah of Shmuel Bronson. Yes, I just want to say a few words.
Secret of tefillah. All the Sfarim talk about, it's the only couple we ever find that they're davening together. The first thing that we see that they're doing together is davening, the beginning of this week's parasha. Their names, is already in the Kamoinim, the Rebbe Sfarim explained, that Yitzchak and Rivka together, the gematria of Yitzchak and Rivka together, equals tefillah, equals 515, which is also the gematria of Eschanim. All tefillahs come from Yitzchak and Rivka's relationship. Yitzchak and Rivka is the ultimate instantiation of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, that union of us with Hashem. The reason that in last week's parsha is such an arichus about the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka is because it's the source, the secret, the koyach of all our unification with Hashem comes from Yitzchak and Rivka, the union of tefillah. So if you ever noticed, Shabbos morning, I remember as a kid, it used to bother me. Our Nishma, at the end of Nishmas, B'fi Yisharim Tesreima, 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 so a lot of Siddurim, it says Yitzchak and Rivka over there. That's the B'fi Yisharim Tesreima, the Tzadik and the Reish, B'fi Tzadikim Yizkadash. It spells out their name, Yitzchak and Rivka, at the end of Nishmas. Because Yitzchak and Rivka are the ultimate instantiation of what it is, us and Hashem. Yitzchak is an oila tmima. He's an oila tmima, ein chutz darat kedailach. He's the ultimate, he's a carbon. He was the only person that's keitz chai, the end of life, and he was still alive, lebedev. He was a carbon that, in a very deep way, was nigrav on the mizbeach, to the extent that he can't go out of Eretz Yisrael. And Rivka is kesheshana ben achoich, like a rose among the thorns. She grew up in such a place, the lowest of the low. And their chibur is us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the soid of tefillah. There's a very deep Torah from the Rapshitzer in the beginning of the parsha, this inyan, which I think will be better understood if we look a little further in the parsha, because we understand that brachas is what comes from tefillah. One that davens, one that did tefillah, one that has the chibur of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could then give brachas. And therefore the oistaj, the translation, if we want to see what happened for the tefillah of Yitzchak, is through his brachas. So Yitzchak, the inyan of all the brachas, we never find in Chumash that other people gave brachas. Yaakov gave a bracha, Zaysa bracha, Shebarach Moshe. But the fighting, the whole animosity, so much involved in the stealing of the brachas of Yitzchak, his brachas is the ultimate brachas. Well, Pesach, the Sfarim say, which is the soid of bracha, all the hashpa that comes to the world. And when Yitzchak actually gives the bracha, it's very funny because when you look at those actual psukim, you don't really see the pashkos in the words, what was this revolving of bracha. If you actually look at the end of the parsha, when Yitzchak actually gives Esav a bracha at the very end, when Esav begs for one, there are not that many words that's different. It's not like, you know, a 1,000-word essay and a 20-word essay. They're not that much difference. We understand that even these words are everything, all the blessings that anyone ever needs in life are in these words. And if you look in the Medrash, so the Medrash says something very interesting. The Medrash said, if you look at the Vita Lechar Lekim, Mitala Shemayim Mishmani Ha'aretz, may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. And if you look in the Medrash on the words Vita Lechar, there's already so many pshatim before we even get to what the words of the bracha is, the manner, the words Vita Lechar already on these words, on how he's giving the bracha, the approach to giving the bracha, before the actual content of the bracha, there's already a whole perushim in the Medrash. So of course everyone knows Rashi brings the first thing the Medrash is medayik on the vav, v'yita mecha. Rashi says, yitin v'yasa v'yita. And whatever this bracha is, it's not a one-time thing. It's a giving and another giving and another giving. It's some kind of bracha that it's a giving that it has to be constant. Chari would seem to be that's the opposite of a bracha. Chari, you give a bracha one time. Again, then, yitin v'yasa v'yita. This bracha is going to have to be something that's always happening. It has to always be coming into our life, this bracha. It's the beginning of a process. And then, v'yita lecha ha'elekim, says the Medrash, elekusa. That the Medrash is like, v'yita lecha ha'elekim. May God give you ha'elekim. May He give you elekus. That's the Lashon HaMedrash, elekusa. May He give you elekusa. May He give you His light. So the Sfasema says, Stabachoyro, what do you mean, Elokuse, Bitamach Elokuse, give him godliness? Says the Sfasema, Stabachoyro, the Pasuk says, Tala Shemayim, Mishmane Art, dew of the heaven and fats of the earth. Sfasema, Elokuse, godliness. So Sfasema says, he says it a lot of times in this parasha, he says it all the time. Of course, we know that ultimately, the Aveda of Yaakov. Of Avraham Avinu and Yitzhak Avinu, of the Ovis Bechlal, when they're not building Klal Yisrael, when they're not involved in things that actually have to do with building Klal Yisrael, they're digging wells. That's what the Torah speaks about the whole time. Avraham Avinu, I was thinking on Rosh Hashanah, first day Rosh Hashanah, which is, you know, the first day Rosh Hashanah, what's the Kriya Sadoira? The Pichol, Sar Tzvoy, the Davi Melech, the Be'eris. And you're like, you know, it's like a cliffhanger. Like, you want to read the Akedah already in the first day. No, you have to go through a good old picha. They're digging wells. That's a chrysoter of Rosh Hashanah. And Yitzhak is digging wells that the bears that sit from Plishtim, that the Plishtim covered over, Yitzhak is continuing to dig them, the whole Arichos. So Semes says, what's the meaning of the wells, these bears? So of course, we know the Ramban already brings that Yitzhak Avinu was building the three Batei Mikdash. These aren't just wells. Avraham and Yitzhak, the Torah doesn't just tell us what they did for a parnasa. They were building the Batei Mikdash. So Seba says, what's the vart of a be'er? It's the in-between a mayon and a bor. A bor is that you bring water for someplace else. Completely man-made. A mayon is a natural spring. Bidei shamayim. Totally bidei shamayim. Just water coming out. What's the vart of a be'er? That a human being digs until you find the water that's already there. The avoid of digging a be'er, the Sfasema says again and again, is that a Jew, no matter where you are in the world, the whole purpose of Klal Yisrael, which is the secret of the diaspora of Golos, which we're also digging these wells, what they began, we're continuing. Our whole life is digging be'ers. Is being involved with all different things in this world, circumstances in this world, and digging to find godliness there. Elokusa, itamach elokusa. And says the Sfasemis that that's the ultimate bracha that Yitzchak is giving his children after Avraham. And Yitzchak began the process of digging wells. Yitzchak then comes and gives a bracha to Yaakov and then to all of us after. He gives the ultimate bracha, itamach elokusa. May God give you his light. That you should be able to continue digging wells, that no matter where you are, what you're doing, what midterm you're studying for, where you find yourself, which geographical place, existential place you find yourself, you'll be Yitam Chelukusa. You should find his light. And Svasema says, we understand that that's why Yitzchak thought to give it to Esav. Because Esav is Doch the Ish Sadeh. Yitzchak knew that Esav was an ish sadeh, was, as Rebbe mentioned, a yavandika mensch. Esav was the yavandika mensch. Esav was the person of choshev. And so Yitzchak thought that that type of bracha Esav needs. When Esav asked, Ketzev Maskas and Tevin Vesakash, how do you take Meiser on straw and salt, on Melech Vatevin, which of course we know, there is no Din Meiser. That's what Rashi brings, that Kitzai Befib, Mirmi, he was faking Esav, because he knew that he wasn't a brisker that was trying to find a new Chumim. The Sfasena says that Esav was trying to say, even Melech and Tevin, even those objects in the world that there's no way to do Meiser. You can't find a Lukusa. Esav was saying, Ketzav Ma'asrim, how could I go to Yavam? How could I go to a Sada and dig a well even there? I will dig to find a Hashem's light that's in everything. That's what Esav was asking. And Yitzchak said, oh, Tzayit Befib, he's a Heberman. He wants to reveal Hashem in Yavam also. He deserves that bracha, Yitzchak HaLukusa. And what's the bracha HaLukusai? Where will you find the Lakusei? Where will we be able to dig the wells? Mital Shamayim, the dew of heaven. Everyone that looked at any of the Svarim knows that Tal is higher than Geshem. Tal comes from Atik, from the highest place of Hashem. That's the dew. That's the Tal Shamayim, is the highest Madregas in Ruchnis. And Shmanei Ha'aretz, not just Gashmis. You know, we all know there's a $35 steak and there's a $90 steak. Shmanei Ha'aretz means a $90 steak. It means Guta Guta Gashmis. That's Shmanei Ha'aretz. And Yitzchak is benching, Yitzchak is giving a bracha that you should eat a machel of kusay. You should be able to find Hashem's light, whether it's Tal Shemayim at Shmanei Ha'aretz. You should always be able to find Hashem's light. And he thought that he was going to give it to Esav. And the Sfasena said, that's why when Esav said it, Birchosi Lokach, that Yaakov took my bracha, Toiras Emes is saying that Esav is saying that it's my bracha. And he's right, Esav. It is his bracha. It's Birchosi Lokach. Esav is shy. Esav is the Ish Sodeh, the one that goes into the field. Yaakov is Yoshe Loyal. The Mesiras Nefesh that Jews have. That Yaakov would be a brought that Mitas Yishleva, that we're going to be able to continue to get the bracha, that we're going to be able to any Shemani Ha'aretz, whether we're learning in a base measure of Tal Shemayim, or you're on a subway of Shemani Ha'aretz. What's the pshat yitin v'yachsav yitin? So Sfasemis doesn't say, but I think the pshat is, what's the pshat yitin v'yachsav yitin? Connecting to the Sfasemis. I think the pshat's like this. So often we get upset that we think that we have a game plan. How I'm going to connect to Hashem. I have this Seder, I have this Harusa, I'm going to Simchas Torah, I decided to learn this Sefer Al Torah. God for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we had a game plan. And then, like, circumstances are always changing. And sometimes it's so frustrating that, like, I thought I knew how I was going to serve Hashem. I thought I had my cards stacked, or they hold my goose in a row. And then things just keep changing. And it's frustrating that reality is always this constant struggle between Tal Shamayim and Shmanei Ha'aretz. But the secret is, because the ultimate truth of reality is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mechadish b'tuvah b'chol yom tamim ma'aseh b'reishis. He's always changing the world. He's always creating the world. There is no such thing. The only thing that's constant is Hashem. And reality is to be able to reveal that constant Hashem in everything and in all time. Hashem's name is Hamakom, which of course we know that anyone that learns Chassidus knows that it's incorrect to say that Hashem is everywhere. When you're immature, you think Hashem is everywhere. When you learn deeper, you know that everywhere is Hashem. It's not Hashem is everywhere. He is Hamakom. He is the place of reality. Space is Hashem. And if we go even deeper, we know that time, you know, all of reality is time and space. Time is also Hashem. His name is Havaya, Yudke Vavke, Hoye Hoye V'Yir. So just like you understand that all of space is Hashem's life, time is also Hashem's life, past, present, and future. Time is a revelation of Hashem, just like space is. And therefore, change is gilui lekus, yitin v'yachsar v'yitin. Being able to, there is no game plan that's always going to be foolproof. I've had a lot of times people ask me, you know, oh, I just got back from Eretz Yisrael. How am I going to give me a game plan that I'll always be able to man in the same Madrega? That there won't be any Pearl Harbor attacks from the Yitzhar. There's no such thing. Because Hashem is constantly bringing to the world, the reality is constantly changing. And circumstances that change, existential circumstances, geographical circumstances, all the circumstances we deal with, is the soid of Yitain, the Yachsa, the Yitain, and the Kusa. You have to find God's light, not just in Tal Shemayim or Shemani Aretz, which is space, but in time, in the fact that our lives are always changing. It's not a mistake that things keep changing, that things fall apart, and that things are always different than we expect. It's the soid of what Yaakov Avinu took upon himself as Birchosi Lakach, the bracha of Esav, the Ish Sodom. That's our avodah, to go into the Yavam, and to bring there also, in the Sodom, in the Melech, the Devon, Yitin v'yachsav Yitin, to find Hashem's light there also. Based on this teaching from Mesfas Semes, let's go back to the beginning of the parasha, the Rav Shmuel says that's the soid of tefillah. Vayetar Yitzchak was davening. What was he davening? So the words are Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem v'noichach ishta. Yitzchak was davening to Hashem across from his wife or for his wife. The Rav Shmuel reads it like this: Vayetar Yitzchak was davening that l'Hashem l'noichach ishta, that God should always be before his wife. His wife, Rivka, is us, represents the Knesset Yisrael, Shoshana ben Achayich, the rose among the thorns, the one that lived in Padan Aram, the one that lived in Washington Heights, and Five Towns, and Teaneck, and New York, and Europe. That's Rivka, that's us. And what's Yitzchak's tefillah? L'Hashem l'noichach ishta, that Hashem should always be before our eyes, that we should always be able to feel God in everything. L'noichach, noichach is nishmas kol chai. Nishmas kol chai, what's the soid of nishmas kol chai? Nishmas kol chai debarach Hashimcha, that the souls of all living things are praising Hashem. Anything that's alive, that's levedic, has the light of Hashem, is part of the makom, part of this man, part of the hoyim hoyim v'yiyim. And the L'Hashem L'Noichach Ishta means that in our eyes, in front of our eyes, the L'Noichach, the Nishmas Kol Chai, that Hashem should always be before our eyes, that was the tefillah of Yitzchak. That was the ability for all of us. He was davening for Rivka that she should have children. That's us. That's us. It was going to be Yaakov and Esav, one that was only going to be Tal Shamayim, one that was only going to be Shemani Haaretz. That was the two twins of Rivka, the Yaakov and Esav Amor and the Parsha. The Yaakov of Mesiras Nefesh wore the Bigdei Esav. He took that, the Begadim of Esav. He made that we, the children of Yaakov, Zeri Yisrael, will also wear Esav's clothing, go into that place of Shemani Haaretz. Live a life of Yitin V'Yachsav Yitin. Live a life where things are changing all the time and it's so difficult to grab onto Hashem with the flow of time and space, with the flow of circumstance. And Yitzchak is davening l'noichach ishtei, that Hashem l'noichach ishtei, that Hashem should always be before our eyes. That's the tefillah of Yitzchak, that's the bracha of Yitzchak. That's the Eila toldus Yitzchak, that's us. We're the toldus mother. We're the toldus of Yitzchak. There's a story from the Rav Shitzer that I heard once from the Munkach Rebbe, as a Zionist on Shlita, the Munkach Rebbe in Borough Park. He said over this story once in the Sukkot, that one time the Rav Shitzer had a chassid that he used to always call him my makelis. This chassid, the Rav Shitzer would call him, is my makelis. My makelis. What's a makelis? So the story is that this chassid, when he first came to the Rav Shitzer, he came, he traveled from far, and it was the first time being by a tzaddik. He comes into the Rav Shitzer's basement, just like by the Rav Shitzer, the people standing around were goyim, were tzaddikim. You know, the people schlepping the benches were tzaddikim by the Rav Shitzer. And this Jew comes, and he feels totally inadequate. He feels totally out of place. He feels totally like, who am I that I should be here? And he felt the whole Friday night, he felt the chalisha sadas, he felt very shvach. He felt like, I don't know, do I deserve to be here? Am I shaykh to this thing? I know what I've done. I know who I am. I don't know if I'm shaykh to you. Went to sleep very upset, and comes out this morning, goes into the base medrash. comes time to say Nishmas, the holy eruption, so we go into tremendous dveikus. We say Nishmas for a long time. And we got to the end of Nishmas, he started saying, Befir Sharm tis roimon, that in the mouth of straight people, completely yosher, that never veer off their beaten path, tis roimon. Uvesiv sein tzadikim tis bor, and in the lips of tzadikim, uvesiv chasidim tis gadosh, Rapshutz was saying, Tzadikim, Yeshorim, Chasidim, that Hashem is praised in the mouth of the most holy, the most righteous. And this Jew was like looking for a place to bury himself. He was looking for himself a place to bury himself, because he knew he wouldn't belong here. And the Rapshutz was saying openly, he's going in a Dveikis Befir Yeshorim Tzreimim, Tzadikim, Chasidim, Kedoshim. And this Jew was like, Mama's ready to like leave, take the first bus out of Rapshutz. Until the Rav Shutzer got to the next words. What are the words right after that? Ubemakelois rivois amcha beis Yisrael is barshim chomakel b'chol dor v'dor. In every generation, Hashem, the makelois in the congregations, or like in our school, sitter in the kongs, kong period, in the kongs, in the makelois rivois amcha, in all the congregations, whoever the congregation, you know, Beth, whatever it is. All the shuls throughout the generation, the makelos, river boys, the tens of thousands, he's brought in every generation, Hashem, your name is praised. And all of a sudden the Jew heard that, and he had a huge smile. Oh, to makelos amcha beis Yisrael, to the congregations, Erev Shabbos. The Rav Shutzer turned around, gave a smile at that Jew, because he sensed that the Jew got the chizuk, and from that day the Rav Shutzer used to call this Jew, my makelos. So we should all be zeichim in Hashem to be makelos. We're all shayach to the makelos. We're part of those congregations. Yitzchak Avinu began. The parsha begins bekachtei es Rivka, which is Rosh Hashanah's be'er. Bekachtei es Rivka is Rosh Hashanah's be'er. Yitzchak began by marrying Rivka. That process of yitin, the acts of yitin, he began that process of connecting the Eila Tmima with the Sheshana ben Achrichim. He began the process of connecting the highest with the lowest. He continued what Abraham said, began with digging the wells, and we continue that to this day. Yitin v'yachsav yitin, we have to tap into the tefillah of Yitzchak, that Hashem l'meichach ishtei, that Hashem should always be before our eyes. And no matter what choshech we find ourselves in, we should be able to light Hanukkah candles. We should be able to tap into what Rebbe was speaking about, that or, the light of the Baal Shem Tov, in that place, whatever shmane ha'aretz, whatever sode, whatever field you find yourself, Hashem l'meichach ishtei, Hashem should be before our eyes. We should know it's another opportunity to reveal how time and space is all Hashem. We should be zeicha to tap into that tefillah and that bracha, and thereby be able to see that day where the water, the light of Hashem, will be bursting through the mayim chayim from every single object, every single centimeter, every inch of the world will be bursting forth the light of Hashem. All this talishman and shmani arts with the coming of Shvitz of Canaan. Amen. 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 Oh, yeah.
Thank you.